everybody's here. Appreciate Charlie finding songs to go along with the lesson this evening, as he made mention. We're going to open up the Bibles in Matthew chapter 5. That'll be where the key text, and then we'll be mainly sticking on to and adding some verses to help us along with it. But as he brought out, kind of looking at the Beatitudes. We are looking at the Beatitudes, kind of, this evening. As we continue studying the life of Christ, we have gone through a lot. As I brought out last Sunday, we've kind of been going through many healings. These last few Sundays, it seems like it's all been focused on Jesus doing certain things on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees trying to tempt him or trying to catch him in something and to accuse him. Jesus making it clear that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so it's been mainly about, you know, the healing of the sick, gaining a great many people to follow him. We brought out that he has the 12 apostles that have been selected to go forth and to preach the word. And so here, as we get into Matthew 5, of course, and Luke, it'll be Luke chapter 6, and we see him start to actually just teach. Right, we've got the Sermon on the Mount taking place here, and it gets more into teaching and some points about how we should be in our lives than just looking at an example, looking at the healings, and looking at the miraculous works that Jesus has done, but actually getting into some of the teachings that he has done. So we have the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, it's given that name because what I had read was the Latin word in which it comes from when it was translated into Latin. I'm not going to try to say it, but it's a beat something. And so, got to turn into beatitudes. Because as you go through these verses, it's blessed, right? It's blessed is what it is at the beginning of each verse. And then on that blessing, what he says about our attitudes is kind of goes along with that, what our mindset should be, and why it should be that way. So, Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 1, let's just go ahead and read through this. We'll read down through verse 12, and then we'll take time and go through these verses. Matthew 5, verse 1 says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And for most of the lesson, we're going to stay here in Matthew on the different accounts, and at the very end of the lesson, we'll go to Luke and look at one part that's a little different in Luke's account as we talk about this. But we can easily have a mindset of why we are blessed, right? We might say, I'm blessed because I have 4 healthy children. I have a wonderful wife. I'm blessed to have a home and vehicles to be able to get from one place to the other. I'm blessed because I have a great amount of food to be able to different varieties. We're blessed to have our friends, blessed to so many different blessings that God has given to us. We say, I'm blessed because of these things. And here in these verses kind of goes about it differently. It doesn't just say, I'm blessed because of the things that God has blessed you with, but rather looking to our attitudes and what we will gain from having that attitude. And the attitudes that we look at in these verses kind of contrary to worldly thinking, you might say, because we want to talk about those who are strong, those who are proud, those who are going out and doing something. And these attitudes, these points that Jesus makes are a little opposite of that. So we look at the attitudes here. The first one comes up there in verse 3 as we talk about blessed are the poor in spirit. Again, a quick reaction to that would be, what does that mean? Blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are sad. Blessed are those who are always sorrowful. Blessed are those who do what? And what kind of poor in spirit is it getting to? And it's not necessarily that we're just always down and that we're, but it's the attitude of understanding our part compared to God, right? That I understand that I can't save myself. And I'm going to lean on my Lord. I'm going to lean on my God. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Because when we get added to the body of Christ, when we are saved, we are added to His church, added to His kingdom. And again, here it is, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? And so blessed is the poor in spirit. John chapter 15 and in verse 5. John 15 and looking there and in verse 5. Here it reads, says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Right? Blessed are those who understand that we are nothing without Christ. That without resurrection of our Lord and Savior, we would have no hope. We'd have no hope of anything after this life. And we'd have no hope of getting to heaven. And without his death, his burial, his resurrection, we have no hope of the removal of our sins, because it's not in our way to save ourselves, but it's in the path of Christ. Christ is the only one that can save us. And so blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are willing to acknowledge that we need the Lord, because I can't earn my salvation. I can never do enough to gain it, but rather we are blessed because we give ourselves over to God. We recognize that we are his children, or we are the Lord's servants, and we serve in his kingdom. And in verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Right, blessed are those who mourn. Again, kind of along with the first one, poor in spirit. Now we go into those who mourn. Blessed are those who can be comforted by our Lord and Savior, right? It's the opportunity for God to show how much he cares and loves for us. It's not necessarily, again, this mindset that we're always sad, that you're sitting there crying for no reason, but godly sorrow that leads to repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, if you will, and look with me there in verse 10. As it reads here, it says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Again, and so there it's telling us, not the sorrow of the world, not those who are sorry for your own wrongdoings, right? It's not the fact that we're caught up and I'm sorry because I got caught red-handed stealing, and I got caught red-handed in a lie. But godly sorrow, we're truly upset when we have sin in our lives, because we understand that sin separates us, that the wages of sin is death. And therefore, it causes us sorrow, it causes us to mourn, it causes us to seek out our Lord and want and plead for his forgiveness. You know, a good example, I believe, again, David sinned. And when he was confronted about that sin, right, when he committed that sin with Bathsheba, killed Uriah the Hittite, and then here comes a man of God, and he approaches and tells him this story, and David, he's like, that man needs to be killed. That man needs to be punished. And he says, you are that. What does David do? He you can see immediately when it clicks, when the light bulb goes off. He has godly sorrow. He pleads for forgiveness. He acknowledged his sin. It's the same thing that needs to be there for us, that those who mourn, those who turn to God seeking his forgiveness, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We know that God is a God of. And verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the urgent. Again, it might take time to say meekness will be weakness. Take time to say meekness is those before who can't stand up for themselves. But rather, we take an understanding and looking to what is being said here, and that the fact that, it's something that Christ is saying we should have an attitude of, and that those who are meek shall inherit the earth. But we think, well, the strong are the ones who inherit the earth. The strong are the ones who are able to conquer cities. The strong are the ones who are victorious. But again, it's a matter of we are submitting to Christ, we're submitting to God. And as we continue to live our lives here on earth, we have self-control not to just, you may be stronger than the person you're dealing with, but you have self-control not to just throw that punch. You have self-control to be willing to try to talk the matter out, to consider the cost of what the outcome might be, to help and pray for our enemies. Later on, as we continue our study in Matthew 5, we'll eventually get to these verses, but Matthew 5 and verse 38 says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Again, you know, here's the control that they had to have. And Jesus is speaking to his people, the Jews, his disciples, saying, you know, control yourself. When they come and they strike you, you don't just turn the sheep. When they come and do this, you know, and they take your stuff, well, then give them more. And if a Roman soldier comes and they tell you, you need to walk, carry my stuff for 1 mile, as they're allowed to by the Roman law, then he says, go ahead and carry it for another. Go ahead and help them out even more than what they can force you to. Don't get caught up in being pride. Again, Jesus is the great example at this point. As Jesus is our King, he is our Creator, that all things were made through him. And here he is, lowly upon this earth, allowing people to try to accuse him, allowing people to speak evil of him, allowing people to come and try to say, you know, he was a drunk, come and try to say that he's breaking the law, try to say that he's blaspheming against the law, when he's there to fulfill it, when he's there to complete it. He's the one, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. His meek and lowly, his humble spirit that he has. Blessed are we when we are meek, for we shall inherit the earth. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hopefully that one really makes sense to each of us, as we all have ate at some point. We've probably all been at some point or another felt like we was just, man, we're so hungry, or we had a craving for something, you know, that we just wanted to have. And here these verses are telling us that that should be our mindset for the Scriptures. Our mindset for the commands of God. Our mindset to know the truth. That we're dying to read more. We're so hungry that we want to open up our Bibles and study. That when we go a while throughout the day and we haven't opened up the Scriptures, we haven't read from the bread of life, and then, you know, we feel like we're missing out. Feel like we're starving a little bit. Feeling like we're just, you know, can't wait for that next meal. Or the times when you're outside and you're working hard and you just need a good cup of water. With thirst, the dying thirst, right? We thirst for righteousness. John chapter 6, and looking there in verse 35. John chapter 6, and looking at verse 35. As it reads here, it says, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." If we truly put our faith in him in the end, again, we'll be able to have access to the tree of life. have access to the river of life. Never to hunger and thirst again. Because Jesus truly should satisfy all things we need, all the things we want. So we should hunger and thirst. Meaning you have a strong desire to be faithful to God. You have a strong desire to hear the truth. You have a desire to be around your brothers and sisters in Christ and study the Word of God. That when opportunity is there to study and talk about it out in the world, we're happy to do that. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he says, if that's what you truly desire, you will be filled. You will have the opportunity to study on your own, to study with others, to study with those in the world. You're going to have your fill of righteousness. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Again, merciful, though, the mercy that God has shown to us. All have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Jesus gave his life. We're about to make sure that all have had the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper, to remember that great sacrifice, to remember that his body was nailed to a cross, to remember that the blood was shed, and that blood is what washes your sins away. That the mercy that God shows to you, we show to others. But it's that mindset that if we're not merciful unto others, then his mercy is not going to be upon us. Forgive so that we can be forgiven. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. Ephesians 2, I'm reading there verses 4 through 6. As it reads here, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? He is rich in mercy. God could strike us down every time we sin. He could have just said, all right, you sin, the wages of sin is dead. Bam, you're done. Right? My mindset goes to us, and when he reached up and he touches that ark, and God struck him down dead. Done. Finished. It had no other opportunity. He can choose to do that to us. He has the power to do that to me. But he shows mercy in allowing us the opportunity to examine our lives, to confess our sins to him, to pray for forgiveness, to repent and turn the other direction. And if you haven't done it, to be baptized, to wash your sins away. He's shown us a great amount of mercy. Let us be willing to show mercy unto others also. Looking at verse 8. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is part of the lesson this morning, I say, as we talk about being pure. Right? Meditate on things that are pure. Keeping that mindset that we need to have, to focus upon the good things. To make sure that our heart, our conscience, our mind is in the right place at all times. It needs to be guarded. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, Proverbs chapter 4, and looking there in verse 23, as it reads here, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Right? Keep your heart. Guard it. Because out of it, again, it's going to bring the issues of life. Later on, I believe here in chapter 5, it gets again, out of the heart brings forth these evil things, right? And so if we're not controlling it, and when you lie, or if you get caught up in blessing, you get caught up in adultery, again, your heart's in the wrong place. You need to correct it. You need to study the Word of God. You need to, again, go back and hunger for the truth, for righteousness. Correct your mindset. To as Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, to transform so that we can renew our minds to the will of God. The perfect will of God. We need to make sure that we're putting God first in all things as we continue to live from day to day. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, putting this lesson together, I found a good point that I think is just wonderful. It said, notice that it doesn't say, blessed are those who like peace. All right, blessed are those who enjoy being at peace. We'll talk about being at peace this morning. And sure, yeah, we should all enjoy and strive and want to be at peace. But here, it's a little more than just saying you enjoy being at peace, being at an ease and having a calm mind and all your sins are washed away. But saying, blessed are those who are peacemakers. Those who are going to do something to help be at peace, to cause peace with other people. Right? You're looking to help the situation. You're ready to forgive others, or if you've done wrong, you're ready to go and seek forgiveness. And you're going to do your part to make sure that you are helping one another to be at peace. And I don't know why I put Matthew up there. That's Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans chapter 12, and turn along with me to verse 18. And read, it says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Right? Do your part. We can always get caught up in saying, well, you know, if they would, and if he would, and if she would do this, if they would do that. That's not what the verse says here. It says, as much as depends on you, as much as depends on me, do your part. Right? To be at peace with one another. Be the peacemaker. Figure out what you can do to make the issue go away. Figure out what you can do to make it a comfortable and happy and a rejoicing act. Right? What can you do? Can you change your attitude? Can you control how you're talking? Can you control what you say? Be angry without sinning? Can you show love and kindness? Do your part. Well, they haven't approached you. Can you approach them? Do what you can do to be a peacemaker. Because again, for they shall be called sons of God. Right here it is. God, our God up in heaven, looking down upon this beautiful creation of his, looking at his creation, us, and we're caught up in sin. Rebelling against his commands, standing opposed in sin. And guess what? God wanted to make peace. And he didn't say, well, I'm going to leave it all up to them to figure it out. Right? No, he said, I'll put a plan together. He spoke with Abraham and said, through your seed, and Isaac and Jacob, and eventually to David, right? He said, you know, there will always be a king in your throne. And then he sent his son down to die for us. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to make sure that we have the commands and the word. He is a peacemaker. He's done all he can so that we can be at peace. Are we doing our part to be at peace? Verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Again, it's not the mindset that you're going to sit there and say, well, why would we want to have an attitude of, hey, persecute me? That's not what it's saying. What it is saying is that, as 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 says, all who follow Christ will suffer persecution. Right? Jesus made it clear, no one is greater than the master. And what did Jesus go through? Jesus was spat upon, cursed, mocked, flogged, beat, scourged, nailed to a cross. Blessed are those who are persecuted
who are made fun of, who are just simply missing out. Again, we don't go through quite what they went through, what Paul went through, what Peter went through, what others had suffered in their time of serving God, and what others may go through as they're in other areas of the world and not able to just be out there in public and hold a Bible and say, come to Jesus. He is your Savior. But understand, if you do put God first, if you follow in the footsteps of Christ, you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through people not liking to hear what you have to say and making fun of you and just rejecting you and turning away from you. But guess what? It says, blessed are you when that happens. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And Luke, I believe, says, jump, you know, leap for joy. Be happy. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is yours. You're inheriting the kingdom. You're entering into the kingdom. You will have a home in heaven. And you are following in the footsteps of many great men, the prophets who were before us, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like I said, I want to finish off by going to the book of Luke. You will follow along with me. Luke chapter 6. In Luke's account, he gives us a couple woes at the end. Again, Luke's is not near as long as the Beatitudes, has the blessed are. But then you get to verse 24 and it has a little more to put with it. And verse 24 says, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. For so did the fathers to the false prophets. And so Luke's account adds a little bit extra and gets away from blessed, right? It's just the opposite effect. It's the opposite points that he is making here. He goes into the point of, you know, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are meek, those who have this other attitude. But then he speaks to those who are rich, those who are prideful, right? Woe. Woe to you who are rich. For you already have received your comfort in full. Well, if this is the best it's going to get, it means that everything else is going to get worse. And there's nothing here upon earth that is going to compare how great it is up in heaven. Right? Our last point on the blessed, Paul makes it clear that, you know, that there's nothing that you'll go through here on earth that's going to compare with the great joy you'll have. And so same thing, there's nothing here. What are you willing to exchange your soul for? To be cast into an eternal lake of fire. Woe to those who are well fed. Again, does that mean that you can't eat so much that you're full, that you're stuffed, can't eat another bite, you're slipping off, need a nap? No, it's not saying that. But again, if you're going to hold all that to yourselves and you're going to hold all your riches to yourself and you're not going to share with others and you're not going to do your part and following and being like Christ and giving unto others and being there for your brethren when they come and knock on your door asking for assistance, it says you will be hungry. You will be hungry. Mindset kind of goes to the rich man and Lazarus, how Lazarus is in the, you know, he's burning on fire. And listen, let him, not Lazarus, the rich man's on fire, and he let Lazarus just dip his finger in water. I need a little drip. Something. Give me something. Woe to those who laugh now, for you shall weep. Again. Are we allowed to have a good time? I hope that we laugh with one another. But if we are so joyful in our life of sin, and we're sitting there laughing about our life in sin and going out in the wrong way, going and continuing in it, and we mock the name of Christ, mock our God. Again, those who continue in that way, they shall be. Woe to it when men speak well of you. This goes right up along with the last blessed, right? He says, if you are in Christ and you're following me, you will be persecuted. So the opposite effect is woe when everybody has something good to say about that person. What's the angle? Why is that? Are we always a people pleaser? You know that person who will tell you one thing to make you happy and then turn around and tell someone else one thing to make them happy, but what they told you and the other person is the opposite? And so both people have something good to say about them, but then you're a two-faced person, double-tongued. For Christians, it's not going to happen. People are not going to like what you have to say. So when we study this first part of Sermon on the Mount, we see that there are some things we need to keep an eye on and ask. We need to recheck that. Make sure that we're not caught up in sin and rejoicing in it, and that we're caught up with our own physical pleasure upon this earth and not helping others, and making sure that we're following in the footsteps of Christ. Do we have the right attitudes as we move on and we enter into a new week that we want to follow in the footsteps of Christ? To be like Him, to have an attitude, a mindset like Him. We don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. If you're here, we can assist you in being baptized or praying for you. If there's anything we can do, let it be known. We stand and sing.
Shepherd, calleth me now to come into the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Come in the strength.